We are on page Kuf Lamed Vav Amid Aleph, which are the top numbers corresponds to page 271. We are about eight lines from the bottom. There's the first word in the line is Bah, with a dot next to it. We're starting with Aval Hashoris Hu Ha'ar Atzuma. And in the English, that's the last paragraph on the page, the indwelling, is where we're up to. The Alter Rebbe is going through a very great introduction. We haven't yet hit the point of why of this letter yet.
Okay.
And the point of the letter doesn't really come until the next page, where after he discusses very high, sublime concepts, then drops the axe.
Okay.
Which is generally the way of the Ramchal. We don't usually have the Alter Rebbe doing this. There are avoided dikka versus haskala dikka maimarim. Haskala dikka maimarim. The word haskala means intellectual. Avoided
right.
means things that you get the person motivated.
Yes.
And there are those people who are somewhat disappointed in that Samach Vav, which is supposed to be the treatise in Haskalah, when you really learn it properly, really just turns out to be avoided dikka maimar. Okay, it was just couched in Haskalah dikka terms, because you really can't have intellect without avoda, without service. You can't have service without intellect.
Why do we need to divorce one from the other?
Yeah, it says there is a story. The Tzemach Tzedek said a mimer. It was probably would have been around Shavuos time.
Okay.
Because both Hillel Paritcher and Isaac Humler were in Lubavitch at the time.
Okay.
And they came, they were both rabbis of a city, and usually rabbis came in for Shavuos because any other holiday was, there's too many complications, you know, Pesach and with all the dealing with the, selling the chametz and all the questions that come up. And Rosh Hashanah through Sukkot, you have all the different holidays that have to, the different things that have to be done specifically by the Rav, you know, these type of things.
Okay.
So Shavuos is all you do is have to eat cheesecake or blintzes or something like that.
Right, so
there's no such thing as Hilchos blintzes anyway.
Right.
So that's when the rabbis would all show up.
Uh-huh.
So the two rabbis are there. The Tzemach Tzedek said a mimer, and then he instructed the Rebbe Marash, who I believe at that time was either an older teenager in his early twenties, to go look at both Hillel Paritcher and Isaac Humler after the Febrengen.
To look at them,
see what they're doing. Okay,
uh-huh.
So Tzemach Tzedek had said a mimer by a Febrengen.
Yeah.
And so he first went to where Isaac Humler was, and he looked, he saw through the window. It says Isaac Humler was sitting in like a silk smoking jacket, and he was smoking a pipe, and his head was sort of like back, and his eyes were closed, and he's just like, you could see he was like totally engrossed in thought.
Right.
Okay. Then he went to where Hillel Paritcher was staying.
Yeah.
And Hillel Paritcher was sitting on a stool, and he had his elbows on his knees, and his chin on the palms of his hands, and his head was bent down.
Right.
And he was looked like he was really kvetching.
Right.
What he was doing over there.
Okay.
So the Marash came back and told the Tzemach Tzedek what he had seen. He says, now you see the difference between a maskil and an oivid. They both learned the same mimer.
Right.
The Isaac Humler is a maskil. He's into intellect. That's his thing.
Okay.
Hillel Paritcher is an oivid. He's into improving himself, improvement in this. He says they will both write down transcripts of the mimer.
Yeah.
And they will submit it to me, and it will be the same mimer, but it'll be a totally different mimer, one from the other.
Right, of course, yes.
Okay, because one will be from approach of a Haskalah, and the other will be approach from Haveda, but it's saying the same words.
Same words, right.
Okay,
so the
Alter Rebbe really wants, we said it on the onset, the purpose of this letter is to get people to learn between Mincha Ma'ariv, specifically and with public classes.
Mm.
Okay?
Right.
And he's done that so far by first talking about the idea of doing a mitzvah, that when a person does a mitzvah, they draw down the elikus in this world, they draw within them, and you're not really going to get the full reward until Mashiach comes. That's the idea of drawing down elikus into this world. Okay? This is, he said, you have Hashara. What was it on? He bases these two different ideas on the word Sheichen Lashon Shechina and Hashara. Okay? As it says that, what he wants to talk about here is Al Kol Be'asor Shechinta Sharia. You have the word Shechina. Normally you would say, what does a Shechina do? A Shechina is Sheichen. Okay? Sheichen means to dwell.
Okay.
Okay? It implies internalization.
Okay.
But it says Shechinta Sharia. Sharia means rests upon or hovers over.
Okay? Not to dwell.
Not to dwell. So here you have the Shechina not internalized. That's what he's going to say right this second. Avol Hashara hu ha'ara atzuma ma'arein se ha'meir ba'abli gvul v'tachlis. Why is it that it can't be contained internally? When we say anytime you have 10 people, 10 Jews, sitting together in the same room, the divine presence rests on them, not in them,
yes.
Is because what happens is there is an expression of unlimited godliness, which is not able to be contained and enclose itself in a limited soul. But it can only encompass them from head to toe. Again, the word encompass, which he described already three times in Tanya, doesn't mean encompass. Like Soviv doesn't mean just surround.
Right.
It means that the godliness is too great to be limited by any keli. It's too great to be limited and therefore expressed in an internalized way. So therefore,
does
use the word Soviv.
Does it permeate it also?
Of course.
It permeates it also, but it's...
But not in a way which can be expressed.
Right. But cannot be limited
correct.
Into that.
The example, the very coarse example, is the difference between Panimi and Soviv as far as a person's arm. Panimi means that the arm is alive.
Right.
Soviv means that the arm exists.
Right.
A person is missing the Panimi, so he's paralyzed. A person is missing the Soviv is an amputee.
Right. Okay.
The big difference.
Right.
Okay. So that means, but there is an effect on the arm. The arm is there.
Right.
Okay. Even right. if it would be a Soviv without a Mamali, it would still be. You'd still have the arm. And he says, so therefore, this that a person is able to do, for example, to learn with 10 people all together. So it says that Ashamar Rizal al akol be'asara shchinta sharia. On every congregation of 10, the divine presence rests. Meaning, it's still above them. Like we say, we jokingly said, you have the 10 people, 10 Jews, sitting in the palace of Auburn Hills by every single Pistons game. Mm. And then we jokingly said, did it help? Didn't help the Pistons. Why? Because, he answers that right here, and not in a joking manner, is because it's only milamila. It's only going to affect in a external, superficial way. Okay? So if you have, even if you have 10 people and they're doing something wrong,
yes.
The divine presence is resting on them.
So what's the quality, ugly question, but what's the quality difference of the 10 Jews that are sitting at the hockey game versus the 10 Jews at the shul who are about to daven? What's the difference?
He's going to say on the next page, it would totally, completely blow, the Malachi Asharas are totally blown away by the Jews in shul. But he's also going to say, which is worse? 10 Jews sitting inanely at a hockey game, or 10 Jews talking to Aaron Batalim in Shul between Mincha Ma'ariv?
Oh, it's probably far worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course.
Yeah, so that's what he's going to say. You know, that's what the lead in is. You know, how the way that these type of discourses works is we have such a potential to reach such high heights.
Right.
And here, look what happens when you don't.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Good.
Kamosha Kosovai he Nayam Hashem Aleinu Umaisi Adena Kainana Aleinu. We say this all over the place. It's Saturday night. It's doubled. It's in the Shabbos davening. Mm. Kapitel Tzadik Aleph, the last pasuk. And it will be the sweetness of Hashem will be upon us, and the work of our hand will be quired upon us. Kiloimer, ki nayam Hashem asher haifiyah b'maisi yedena b'oisak eterva hamitzes daraisa kuchar b'chol kol echad. That means that we're talking about the sweetness of Hashem through the Torah and the mitzvahs that are being done by our hands, and because it is the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Raisa Kodesh Baruch Hu Lechad, that Hashem and the Torah are all one. Yiskainin v'yishra aleinu milamayla. So then there is this acquisition, or he calls it here, establishment of and resting upon us from above, lies bligvol v'tachlis, that it should be without end or limit. So that, what are we saying for in that pasuk? V'hin noyim, it should be. That pasuk says that's a request.
Right.
It should be that the sweetness of Hashem should be upon us, and that our hand should establish Him for us. Meaning that by when we're doing things the right way, so then we have this divine presence resting upon us. Ve'enem islabish nashen, and we understand it's not going to be enclosed in our soul. Because we see what's the effect of the mitzvahs. Person did a mitzvah, so they're not going to see lightning bolts necessarily.
Right.
Okay? They put on tefillin, the sky is not going to open up. He is not going to see angels.
Right.
Will he feel something? Hopefully he'll feel something. I mean, you know.
He could.
Yeah.
He could.
But it's possible to put on tefillin and not feel anything.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, which happens to be, by the way, probably more normal.
Of course it is.
Okay, so.
Sad to say, but yes.
I mean, because physically putting on tefillin, physically speaking, is no different than putting on your shoes.
Or your belt or anything
else.
Yeah, right.
It's just the same deal.
You're doing, exactly.
You're doing it, putting on, you got it on, you know, so.
Okay, yeah.
Therefore, since it's so above us and it does not allow itself to be comprehended or apprehended even, so therefore we don't understand it. It's above our intellect, this pleasantness and the sweetness of Hashem. Because even though it's just a ziv hashchina, it's still bleak v'tachlis. Ziv means a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, so how big is a little bit of God? Yeah, very big still. And it's still going to be, however little bit of godliness is extended, it's still going to be beyond us because it's unlimited.
Right.
Even this little bit of array. Asher miskainin v'shara aleinu maisi yedeinu b'teiru u'mitzvus b'rabim dafka. But what happens is there is a good effect, and it is going to affect us. Okay? The same thing like a person, if you ask a person whose arm is paralyzed, chas v'shalom, would he prefer to be an amputee?
Of course not.
No. Well, you know, because there's still that positive effect, even though he can't feel it.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You could put a pin right in his arm, he's not going to feel a thing because he's paralyzed. Okay, but you ask him, well, you know, this thing weighs a lot. It's so much easier on if we just cut it off.
Right.
Not going to happen. V'alze amar rizal schar mitzvah b'hai amaleka. That's why our sages say that in this world we don't get the reward. Because this world is, because we have this as indicated all over the place with Avraham, with Yaakov, where Hashem tells them, don't worry, not only is it that you haven't touched the interest, the principal, you haven't touched the interest right, yet either. Right. Whatever it is, and we have no way of discerning, you can't say, you know, the reason why that guy is so successful is because look at all the Torah and mitzvahs that he does. Because that's not an indication of anything, because you have people who do more Torah and mitzvahs, and they've got such problems, you know.
Their chickens are hungry.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with it. I mean,
it has, because that's not the reward. The reward is not.
Yeah,
there's no. There is no. In this instance, there is no quid pro quo. Because I'm a good boy, so Hashem should pay me good. No, it doesn't work that way. Because you did a mitzvah, you made an attachment to Hashem.
Right.
The effect of that attachment to Hashem, you cannot see, because that attachment is eternal. So eternal means it's not within the guise of time, and something, we have basic principles and basic rules, something which is not limited to time can't be limited in space either.
Right.
Okay. That's just by the definition of the physics in which we live.
Yes.
So therefore, by definition, whatever attachment this person made, how little it would be, how big it would be, that we can't even discern what little or big means, he's not going to be able to fully appreciate it while he's alive. And even when he passes away and divests himself of a three-dimensional body and a three-dimensional outlook on the world,
right,
it's still called Ziv Hashchina. It says, what are the neshamas doing in Gan Eden? There's the Yosh V'nenin M'Ziv Hashchina. They're sitting and they're basking in the ray of the divine presence.
Hmm.
So it's still called Ziv. You mentioned this back in chapter 4.
Right. Ray.
Yeah, it's a little tiny bit, because even the neshama, because you could draw a picture of a neshama, it would look just like Hashem, but the neshama also has its limitations.
Right.
It also has its physics. It's a creation.
It's created.
Excuse me, we are told, we'll see what this means, that when Mashiach comes and physics changes, and now three dimensions becomes a conduit for infinite dimensions, that then we'll see the full effect of what it is that we did in the course of our lifetimes.
Yeah.
And that will determine our place, where we are with Mashiach, how close we get to sit, you might say. You know, we have an infield box, or are we out in the bleachers someplace, or are we even in the ballpark? We're all in the ballpark. You know, it's just, you know, how far away are we from the action, you know? But we'll have to understand what that means then, because the Alter Rebbe said, I don't want your Gan Eden Atachtein, I don't want your Gan Eden Elyon, I don't want your Olam Haba. I don't know if it went on so far as to say Trios Amesim. I don't want your Olam Haba, Ich Vil Dich Alein. I want you.
Right.
Because all those other levels, all those other time periods, were still expressions of limited amounts of godliness.
Yeah, right.
And we're just can be considered, there's where your quid pro quo is. You did a mitzvah. The connection you made is the result of the mitzvah that you just did.
Right.
The amount of godliness that you get once a person divests himself of his body depends on the mitzvah that he did.
Right.
So that's going to be his quote-unquote reward. There's the quid pro quo.
Right.
Becomes Mashiach, and it says it's even better than that.
Yeah.
It's not based on that totally. Entirely, I mean. The only time that you're going to see this connection that's made by you doing mitzvahs is when the soul divests itself of the body. And even this, it's only out of the kindness of Hashem.
Okay.
How much your soul can withstand is how much godliness you're going to get in Gan Eden.
Right. There's an enigma here that I can't solve in my head. There's constant talk throughout all of the writings The reward. But yet we're constantly instructed not
don't
to serve
do things for the reward.
Serve Hashem for reward.
So, right. One actually has nothing to do with the other.
Okay.
We're told, listen, there is going to be a reward.
Yeah.
But that's not why you're doing things.
Right.
Okay? You're doing things because, why are you a good person? Because you're supposed to be.
Because Hashem wants me to be.
You're supposed to be a good person. You're not a good person because you're thinking Hashem is going to see what a good boy
you get,
and I'm going to get a I'm going to get a prize. That's not your motivation. That is, you see, we're both laughing. That's very childish. Okay. No, that's not. That's not for us. No.
No.
Okay. I mean, but it could be. I mean, we've told the story a couple of times of the Baal Shem Tov that had Elias and Hashem. We told it like I think last time or the week before. That the Baal Shem Tov had Elias and Neshama, and they told him, we're not going to tell you what's going on in this town because you're going to do it to change it. We don't want it to get changed. You remember the story? And then, so he said, no.
Here when you
so he said, so he said, I told him a couple of times.
Okay, already. Go.
Okay, so for those people who have been binge listening on RabbiFinman.com, this is probably going to be the fifth time you heard this story.
Good, you'll need it. So,
the Baal Shem Tov has Elias and Neshama, and he sees a black cloud over a town. He says, what's doing with this? We said, we're not going to tell you. He says, I'm your good buddy. What do you mean you're not going to tell me? He says, no, there's a decree against the city, and if we tell you, you'll do whatever you can to divert the city.
Right.
He says, I won't do that. I promise I won't. So they said, you have to take a solemn oath before we'll tell you. So he says, fine, I take a solemn oath. I will not do anything to divert the decree. So they tell him. He immediately has Eurydice and Neshama, turns to the two guys next to him and says, you and you go to this town. Okay, they go to the town, they divert the decree. The next week he comes back, and he's getting the cold shoulder. Nobody's talking to him. He says, hey, what's going on? I'm your buddy. How come, getting the silent treatment? They say, you're in big trouble, buddy, because you took a solemn oath.
Right.
And not what it was that you kind of slipped and broke your oath. It's a violation of the third commandment. Not that you broke, you had the intention that when you took that oath, that you were going to violate it.
Right.
Okay, so you intentionally took Hashem's name in vain, and because you did that, it's been judged that you will lose your portion in Olam Haba.
Right.
And the Baal Shem Tov said, Baruch Hashem.
Great, yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And he said, what do you mean? And he said, well, till now I was wondering maybe I'm doing all my mitzvahs to get a reward.
Right.
Now that I know that I won't have a reward, so now I can do them properly.
Right.
This caused a whole shturm in heaven.
Right.
And they said, well, if that's the way you feel about it, we're giving back your portion in the world to come.
Plus.
And as a punishment, we're giving you extra. Take that. Okay? So you're right. As if nobody, we don't know what you're doing. You don't even know what you're doing when it comes to the reason why you're doing what your motivation is.
Right.
Deep down,
it's not even. Well,
I mean, the Alter Rebbe does mention three times in Tanya this whole. And I'm not talking about the first thing. I'm talking about all five books.
Yeah,
the word Gehenna is mentioned three times.
All three times.
So he does mention it. So it is something there that we have to. We're just not going to poo-poo it altogether.
No, that'd be foolish.
Okay? So, but we're not worried about it. Because if we were worried about it, he'd be talking about it a whole lot more. But just to know that it's there, and for what reason, the reason why we know about it is because if you're going to do the right thing all the time, this is what you're not going to have to worry about.
Right.
That's the reason why it's presented.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but that's not our motivation either. We're not doing the right thing to avoid punishment.
No.
I better do this today, otherwise I'm going to get punished if I don't. No, that doesn't do it either. So all this, though, is however much a person gets, even that which the neshama enjoys after his divestment of a body is all an expression of the kindness of Hashem. Moshe Kasav Lecha Hashem HaChesed. Because it says, to you, Hashem, is kindness. Ki ata tishlam le'ish k'may sehu. And you pay back people according to their deeds. K'may sham rezal, shakadosh baruch hu nais in k'ayach bat tzadikim kulu. As it says, our sages say, that Hashem gives power to the tzadikim, because since they're tzadikim, so they're entitled to get all kinds of proper things, because they're always acting properly.
Yeah.
Which really isn't very fair. because how did they get to be tzaddikim?
Shem made them
that way.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, they shouldn't get anything. What did they do already? You know?
I don't know if I
Masha Ein came. Yeah. Masha Ein came to Malachim, which is not the case with the angels. The angels, because they are non-dimensional, they don't have any mitzvahs or any averas.
Right.
Okay. But they can appreciate whatever godliness is there.
Okay.
That's why Yeshaya saw the Malachim. What were they doing? They're screaming Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish.
Right.
And they're saying, Ayei Mekayim Kevaydei, where is the place of Hashem's glory? They just said Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. What's Ayei Mekayim Kevaydei, where is Hashem's glory?
Yeah.
It's because they know that there's higher levels of godliness.
Right.
Their bodies are no way contradictory to godliness, to spirituality, and in those they know that there's higher levels because they have a neshama which is higher than their body.
Right.
But they're not privileged to that, so they're all upset. Hello. What are we doing down here? We know there's higher
stuff. Welcome to the world I live in.
Which is not the case with Malachim.
Yeah.
Which is not the case, which I heard from my teachers. Now, there's a, usually when it says from my Rebbe, it means the Mizrach Magid. So there's a whole discussion, who's Rabbeisai? Okay, so he did for a while, after the Mizrach Magid passed away, for I think it was for a year, but by the time that Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk was his mentor,
okay.
But he was only there for a year, and then he took off and went to Israel.
Okay.
So the consensus of opinion over here is that he's referring actually to the Baal Shem Tov, because what he's going to quote now is actually from the Baal Shem Tov.
Okay.
So he didn't actually hear it from the Baal Shem Tov. He heard it from the Mizrach Magid, who was probably quoting the Baal Shem Tov.
Right.
Ki ilan nimsa malach echad oimin ba'amid ba'asara mi'yisrael bi'achad. If you would have an angel standing among a group of 10 Jews, av she'ena medavrim divrei Torah, even though they're not talking words of Torah, like at a hockey game or whatever, at a basketball game, tipol alav emasa v'pachad b'li gvul v'tachlis m'shrin tesh tishari alayhu. There would fall upon them a dread and an awesomeness which is unlimited because of the divine presence that's resting upon them. Asha hayam is batal v'metzias legamrei, until they would be totally and completely blown away entirely. They would just become incorporated with the Elikus, which is now abounding on that group of 10 people. And that's if they're just sitting inside a basketball arena watching a basketball game.
You're talking about the angel would be...
The angel would be blown away. The angel can see it. The angel can experience it.
Because he has cognizance of it.
Yeah, he's a spiritual entity.
So
he has cognizance of it. And therefore, once you give him a little bit, he'd be out.
He's gone. I got it. Yeah.
So you can say, if that's...
Because we're a box of rocks, we don't get...
Yes.
We're
exactly. So now you can imagine, if it is by a basketball like that, a basketball game, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Imagine what it's going to be if you have 10 people diving in a minion, or 10 people sitting in a room learning Torah. Okay?
Yeah.
It would, never mind, the angel couldn't even be... The reason why he says what he says is if it would be that an angel would be at a Pistons game with the 10 Jews that are there, he'd get blown away.
Right.
He can't even say if it would be that an angel would be in a shul with a minion.
Because it can't happen.
Because it couldn't even possibly
happen
that it could be standing there.
Can't
because
happen.
The godliness is so great. Now he drops the axe. Al kein rabba einai hamaisa she'nasim tachas Hashem es b'chlal b'prat.
Therefore,
it is very bad.
Yeah.
The things that, the way I can see it, is that this looks really bad.
Yeah.
Things that happen, he says, Tachas Hashemesh. Okay, the things that are happening under the sun. What does that mean? We have an expression, Tachas Hashemesh is taken from Mishli. Ein Kol Chadish Tachas Hashemesh. Actually, it's Kehelis. It's, what do you call it?
Ecclesiastes. Yes.
Ein kol chadash tachas Hashemesh. There's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
Okay? That's under the sun. The sun being a creation. So yes. Anything which falls into the realm of creation,
right,
that's old godliness. The Torah, Torah kadma la'olam. The Torah comes before the world. The Torah is higher than the sun.
Okay.
So there you can taka have achidush. There you can have nuance. Okay. There you could have new things.
All right.
So he's saying if these people are sitting between Mincha and Ma'ariv and they're talking Dvarim B'Teilim, so then what are they there for? What status are they? They're under the sun.
Uh-huh.
They've resolved themselves to being stuck within nature.
Part of creation.
Yeah. Right.
Uh-huh.
And they have and such a potential higher. To supersede it so much.
Right.
Okay, he says generally and specifically. So, you know, even... Because what happens is you got a bunch of people that are sitting and learning. And a couple of people are talking Dvarim B'Teilim. So okay. What are the people that are talking Dvarim B'Teilim doing? It's the same deal.
Yeah.
Bein achai v'reya hanigashim al Hashem hagash zu tefillah. Between my brethren and my friends. And we talked about this at the beginning of the letter, in the beginning of a previous letter, that he's not just...
not platitudes.
Yeah, he's not just complimenting here and, right. And bestowing titles to make people feel a little warm and fuzzy. But he says, people of your stature, that I would count you among my brothers and friends, I would feel very disappointed that this is what's going on.
Yeah.
Nothing like Jewish guilt, right? That these people, when they come close to Hashem and this coming close is the time of davening. And then what happens is, Acher hatfilah elefaneha nasa meshev leitzim rachman alitzlan. And then after davening or before davening, depends, I suppose, if you're talking after mincha, before ma'ariv, they becomes a meshev leitzim, a den of scoffers. But it says the first chapter of Tillim right. Of Leitzim LaYashav. You should not sit in among a
scoffers.
Yeah, in a among a den of scoffers.
Right.
Okay. And the word Leitzim has different connotations. A clown is a letz. Okay, a comedian is a letz.
Yeah.
That's but someone who mocks or scoffs.
Right.
Is also called a letz. Now, if you ask this person who's sitting in shul between Mincha and Ma'ariv, and he's talking to Aaron B'Talem, and you say to him right now, what's your opinion about Hashem? Okay? You're going to get a whole treatise over there, Hashem Echad, etc., etc. Okay, so this person is not a mocker. He's sitting and, but because he's not engaged in promulgating a revelation of Hashem. In Judaism, either you're getting better or you're getting worse.
Right.
The Alter Rebbe never cut any punches. There's no gray area.
Mm.
It's either the right thing or the wrong thing.
Mm.
Okay. Now I do tell people, well, isn't it going to make a person neurotic? Yeah, it could really make a person neurotic. I'm not doing. Okay. So, but we've talked about before, a person could do nothing so long as it's for the purpose of serving Hashem.
Yeah.
Guy worked all day, okay, especially in the summertime. At Mincha is 9 o'clock, okay, and he is just gassed,
yeah,
okay, and he knows that he's not going to make it. It's you could have Ma'ariv 10 to 10 over here,
yeah, sure,
okay, and he knows that he's going to try and exert himself and put himself into some kind of a class or some kind of learning. First of all, it's not going to go because he's exhausted. And second of all, he'll probably fall asleep in the middle of Shema. When he puts his hand over his eyes and closes his eyes, guess what? He just invited himself to snooze.
Yeah.
Okay, so the person then decides at that point, listen, I have to take a break in order that I should be able to daven Ma'ariv properly.
Right.
So then doing nothing becomes part of his preparation
of
for davening Ma'ariv.
It's an avoda. Right.
So, but...
Don't fool yourself.
Yeah, doing nothing is a whole lot better than sitting and talking about the Pistons between Mincha Ma'ariv.
Yeah.
And for sure a whole lot better than the Lions, because, Kamar Shamar is all Shishnayim, as our sages say, Shishnayim Shiyoshin Ve'imineihem Taira. It says you have two people that are sitting together. And there's no words of Torah.
No.
Then it says it's like they're sitting at a table of filth and vomit. And there's another expression in it says that they're. I think it says that they're pushing away the divine presence. Yes. So it says, if it is that a person sitting and wasting time, so he's pushing away Hashem. So what happens if you have 10 people sitting and wasting time? So it's a really strange thing, because they're both true.
You're
pushing away Hashem, but Hashem is still dwelling there.
Right.
So this is why he uses the expression coming up right now, like a king who is fettered in chains.
Yeah.
Because Hashem really says, I want to leave. Yeah. I really want to get out of here. But rules say, you got 10 of you guys, I got to stick around. I am stuck.
Yeah.
Ve'im amarizal aloever avera besese deicha gragle ashchina. It says that if a person, our sages say, if a person does a sin quietly,
right,
he pushes away the feet of the divine presence, chas v'shalom.
Yeah.
Okay, because any time a person is going to do something in opposition to Elokus, it creates a block which does not allow Elokus to come down into this world and make a connection with this world.
Mm.
It's posing an interposition.
Okay.
That's what it says. In Yeshaya, that even iron curtains can't separate a Jew and Hashem, only their sins can separate between a Jew and Hashem. So if it's one person quietly, and this is the effect, if you have 10 people sitting in shul, and they're all engaged in pushing away the divine presence, it's like they're pushing away the entire divine presence. Mm-hmm. It says, I and he cannot live together.
Right.
Okay, because what's happening at that point is a person who is willfully just engaging in idle chatter rather than engaging in productivity is saying, oh, there's enough God in the world. Is it enough? But the Hashem is still stuck there because there's 10 of them. So it's like a king chained in fetters.
Right.
He says, woe to the person who finds the divine presence to be disgusting.
Mm.
It says that Hashem will raise the Shekhinah and say, get up and get out of the dust.
Right.
V'altal is mealing mis'akve Yisrael begalusa. And for three things is it that the Jews are stuck in Gullus. And whenever there's three things, I only know two. I can only remember two. I can't remember what the third one was. I know it at one time. And if he listed two over here, if he would have listed the third one, not listed one of these two, I forget the other one. But what are they? The fact that we're pushing away the divine presence. If we wouldn't be pushing away the divine presence so much, guess what? There would be a whole lot more divine presence.
Yeah.
A whole lot more divine presence. We wouldn't be here.
Right.
And because we cause shame to the divine presence by, like, for example, getting 10 people together and engaging in frivolity.
Right.
As explained in the Zohar. Al kain ayavei va'achei v'rei. Therefore, my brethren, my friends. Is where we're going to stop. That's the last line on page 272. To be continued.
Perfect.